Grace and peace to you in our God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. In Celtic thought, there are certain places which are known as thin places. They are places where the veil between this world and the other world is thin. In fantasy literature, of which I am a big fan, these thin places are the places where people stumble into the world of fairy, or where mythical creatures cross over into our world. In Celtic theology, thin places are places where the presence of God is felt especially strongly. Thin places are places of mystery and holiness. In the Bible, mountaintops often serve as thin places. Moses is in the mountains when he first encounters God in the burning bush. When he has brought the people out of Egypt, he converses with God on the mountain, where he receives God's commandments for the people. When Moses asks to see God's glory, God tells him that that is something no mortal can survive. God places Moses on a cleft in the mountain and passes by so that Moses sees only his back. Even so, each time Moses comes down from the mountain from his encounters with God, his face shines with God's reflected glory. When Elijah became so discouraged with the persecution that he faced as a prophet, and he was ready to give up, God told him to go on the mountaintop and wait. And it is there that Elijah encountered God in a still, small voice. And in that holy mystery, his commitment and energy for God's work are renewed. The transfiguration of Jesus is another mountaintop story, another example of a thin place where the earthly reality and the heavenly realm meet. Jesus takes three of his closest disciples, James and John and Peter, to the mountain to pray. As he is praying, Jesus' appearance is changed. Luke doesn't say he is transfigured, that big church word got it put in later on, but just that his face changes and his clothes shine brightly. Then Moses and Elijah appear and begin conversing with Jesus. Jesus' exodus, his departure, meaning Jesus' upcoming journey to Jerusalem and to his death. And John are weighed down with sleep. These are the same three who later in the story will see. But the appearance of the prophets Moses and Elijah startles them awake. They are astonished and they don't know how to respond. And then cloud surrounds them. Just as in Exodus, God was revealed in pillars of cloud and fire, in clouds and storms on the mountain, God revealed and yet cloaked in mystery. At our pastor's text study this past week, one of the pastors asked, on that mountaintop, did Jesus bring heaven down to earth? Or are Jesus and the disciples transported to the heavenly realm? And my first thought was, yes. Is there a difference? Don't the Gospels say that because of Jesus, the realm of God is right here among us? So yes, heaven and earth meet on the mountain as they always do in the person of Jesus. It is the mystery of incarnation, of God with us. And then immediately my next thought was, but I sure hope that there is more than this. There had better be more than this, God, because this here now is not okay. Reality kind of stinks right now. Friday that we are having the driest winter in 100 years, along with the second highest temperatures. Climate change is catching up with us. And our nation seems to be decompensating right before our eyes, with people in our country and around the world cut off from necessary food assistance, and lifelong government employees losing their jobs in a moment. The federal government is preparing to detain 30,000 Venezuelan refugees in encampments in Guantanamo Bay. Federal and state governments are denying not only gender-affirming health care, but the basic existence and human dignity of transgender people. It hurts to listen to the news these days. Week after week, day after day, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, O God." We know that God's realm, God's reign, will be characterized by justice and peace, love and mercy, and we don't see much of that going on right now on the world stage. And this day, this Sunday of this transfiguration, the transformation, what is the mystery and meaning of this day? This day offers a revelation of Jesus in his divine glory, a thinning of the border between earthly reality and the heavenly realm, between daily life and God's reign. This day offers a mystery of God's glory here on earth, of God truly present in this world, even when it is hard to see it. Theologians are fond of saying that this is the already and not yet of God's reign. In Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is present in this world. We confess that, we trust that, even when it's hard. The reign of God came near to us in the person of Jesus and stayed. And yet, clearly, the reign of God is not fully realized now in this time. It is what we hope for when we say Christ will come again, that the cloud of mystery will clear and justice will come, and pain and death and suffering will be no more. And here's another mystery. Luke tells this story between two predictions of Jesus' death. That's the things that they were talking about in the beginning of the gospel. Luke makes it clear that the glory of God in Jesus cannot be understood apart from his death. This is the Son of God, the chosen one, who will be betrayed and killed. Those who wish to follow, Jesus says, will follow to the cross. Not just once, but again and again, those who follow Jesus choose the cross. Those who follow Jesus choose the path of love instead of fear. Choose the path of standing up for what is right, even when it might be easier to keep quiet. Choose the path of servanthood, the path of resistance. Sometimes in this world, we encounter thin places where we feel God's presence more closely. And sometimes we encounter thin people. People in whom the presence of God is so clear that they radiate God's love and grace. Mother Teresa was one of these thin people. I think Pope Francis is one of these people. Even if you disagree with some of his interpretation of faith, his life and his presence radiate the love of God and reflect his life of servanthood. Perhaps you have known some of these people as well. My grandmother was one of those people. After she died, we had a chance to talk at length with the chaplain who visited her in the assisted living facility where she lived the last days of her life. Being with Esther was like being in the presence of Jesus, she said. I never heard Esther say a mean word about anyone. She was filled with God's love. It shone from her. What a tribute. I think we all know people like that. So here's the thing. I would like a Superman God to come soaring down here and save us right now from all the wicked things that humanity is doing. I would really like the kingdom of God to come quickly. Really, anytime now, God. We'd love to see it. But what we get instead is mystery. What we get is an invitation to follow the one who lives in love. What we get is a servant who invites us into service alongside him. But always, we get a God who is present. So I will share again, as I have many times, a poem from poet and pastor Steve Garness Holmes. Ah, how we long for clanging revelations, bright lights, yes, the special effects. But even the light fades, the voice goes silent, and instead God gives us a cloud. Mystery, unknowing. We didn't always see that light glaring in Jesus, did we? But it was always there. Sometimes our only revelation is that an unseen presence walks with us in the dark, breathing, loving, and that is enough. We glimpse the good news just enough to pass it on. The darkness is friendly. May it be so. Amen.